Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, awareness. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust, and the Lucis Trust sponsors Inner Sight. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. In the total evolution of the spiritual individual through physical incarnation during untold hundreds of lives, the entire process is simply one of expanding consciousness and of attaining, sequentially and stage by stage, an ever more inclusive awareness. If expanding consciousness is so simple, why aren't human beings more aware?
Good question. Well, I think the use of the word simple could be a cause for some reflection. I don't think simple necessarily means easy. Simple means clean and direct in my mind, not complicated. And it's said that the greatest spiritual truths are the simplest. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're easy to grasp. There's a simplicity to them, a paring down of the essential principles, a distillation of truth into a very refined and free of nuanced meaning. And so when this statement says that the process of expanding one's awareness is simply a matter of expanding consciousness, I think it's a good way of saying that to expand our consciousness, we need to get rid of all of the extraneous distractions that allow us to be so preoccupied, especially in the modern world, and to learn to focus our field of consciousness on the things that really matter. Then there is a simplicity in the way we use our minds that prepares the way for expanding awareness. At least that's my take on it.
Yes, I think we're in a stage, or at least the general human being today is in a stage of where the intellect, the human intellect, is getting the main focus. And it's at that stage that really complicates our state of awareness, because we're suddenly faced with so much that is we have to be aware of, and it's having to do with the material world and trying to understand what's going on in the material world and what's happening behind the material forms. And I think that's where we're so concentrated on the form life itself, that it's difficult to see the simplicity that lies behind the form.
And I think you've just made a good point that we can remain so preoccupied with what we see on the outer levels that we forget to try to register the underlying need. And that is where awareness comes in. Awareness, Alice Bailey said, is a sensitive response to environment and to need. It's a way of saying that awareness is a process of being fully present in whatever you're doing, whether you're commuting to work or shopping or washing the kitchen floor or going to the movies or watching television or reading a book or walking along the sidewalk, being fully aware of your environment. And I think that doesn't mean just the outer physical environment, but gradually training yourself to be aware of other dimensions to life. And I don't think we use those moments enough, the moments of quiet. For example, when we are commuting, use those moments when you just have to ride the subway, train, or whatever, to try to sense the inner realms of thought and of sensed perception, rather than distracting yourself with the iPod and the newspaper.
But I think that that's part of the problem, because we are so distracted. We tend to be distracted. We have all of these gadgets that distract us, that add to the distraction, like the iPod or the cell phone or...
And I'd really like an iPod. Nothing wrong with iPods.
But
there's a time for them and a place.
Yes, and I was thinking that... As I said, we're in this stage, this particular difficult stage of human development, where the mind is becoming so active, and that's what it's supposed to do. But we also have to realize that there is a stage beyond where we are now that is much more quiet, much more simple, simplified, and is much more sensitive to the underlying spiritual components or the spiritual impulses that are working out in the world. And I think that's what we have to be aware of, that this is not the height of human development. This is only kind of the middle stage, mm-hmm. and that's why it's so difficult. But there are many other deeper and deeper stages in consciousness beyond which we have to go.
I think this is an interesting time to be reflecting on awareness, because just in the last few decades, certainly in the last century, the extension of human awareness has been magnified tremendously, and in many ways that's due to the media. So many of us criticize the media, and often with good cause. But when we reflect on the better aspects, the better contributions of the media, they have really opened up the world to huge numbers of human beings who before lived in their villages, their towns, their rural areas, even in the cities, but were basically contained within their own group, their own society, their own culture or whatever, and unaware of what was happening in the rest of the world. With the development of the radio and the television and now the internet, we are aware of events almost as soon as they happen on the other side of the world. The classic example being two of them, the September 11th and the tsunami, where immediately the whole of the world's population practically is aware. And that's a tremendous step forward in being sensitive to the lives of people whom we would never come in contact with otherwise, have very little understanding of their customs.
It's awareness that it's kind of horizontal
mm-hmm.
in its scope.
It's a start.
It's a start, and it's what the intellect does best, let's say. As I said, it's horizontal, but there is that vertical or inner component that we also must that must complement, let's say, the outer horizontal mode, and this is what the next step in this inward search for something, to using our inner resources, our inner mind, contact with the soul and bringing mm-hmm. that alignment into more of a manifestation.
The soul is mm-hmm. consciousness. The soul is awareness without borders or boundaries. And that's why the practice of meditation is such an asset in expanding awareness, because paradoxically, when you sit quietly, close your eyes, and turn within, you encounter, in gradual stages of increasingly skilled practice over many years of time, you encounter the universe. Meditation turns within, but in fact opens the consciousness up to, in time, the whole. And I think the sense today among so many people that they need to meditate is a reflection of this growing awareness. And like you say, perhaps a realization that there's more than just the outer horizontal plane.
Yes, and I think that's the kind of the bridging mechanism that bridges inward towards the soul and from, quite frankly, from the soul beyond the soul to mm-hmm. to the father aspect, or mm-hmm. what they call the monad, or the spiritual triad, as it is described in the Bailey books. And so it's meditation is a technique, and it's a way that one can effect a bridging towards that inner spiritual contact, in a spiritual source. It's the very source of our being.
Mm-hmm. The bridge metaphor is a classic one in the Ageless Wisdom, because we are, in a sense, flinging across a gap in consciousness or awareness, a strand of lighted living energy by which every human being is connected to the source of all life. But the connection is not known. It's not part of our awareness until we can gradually, through meditation, through spiritual practices, extend our mental perception of these larger realms. Alice Bailey gives a good image of what we're trying to do. She said, imagine yourself sitting in a room looking out through a window at the larger world. That's really what happens when we expand our awareness. We are looking through a glass pane that in effect serves as kind of a barricade between our own consciousness and the larger world. And our effort is to break through that pane of glass and to realize in time that there is no separation between ourselves and the whole of the world. But this is going against the tide of eons of incarnations as an individuated human being. The sense of the self has been built up over eons of experience to the point where it's, finally, I think it becomes a kind of a crystallized barrier. And at that stage, the person breaks through because he realizes he has to. There's a great span of time when people are perfectly happy to be separated beings and enjoy every moment of it, and that's the cause of the selfishness that we see in the world. But there does come a time when you really realize you cannot go on living that way, and that's the moment when the spiritual path is really undertaken in seriousness.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, awareness, and we have a special offer today from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, The Soul, The Quality of Life. The Soul, The Quality of Life is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books of Alice Bailey. The soul, the higher self, or higher individuality, is the agent of awareness in every human being, and you'll certainly be able to take a more in-depth look at today's topic of awareness. Awareness is something you'll be able to explore in much greater depth if you read the Alice Bailey book, The Soul, The Quality of Life. It's discounted today in the form of free shipping and handling, so it's available for $16. So what you need to do if you'd like to take advantage of this special offer is to send a check or money order, $16, request the book entitled The Soul, the quality of life, the soul, the quality of life, and write a little note saying that you heard about the offer on the Inner Sight show. So once again, check or money order to Lucis Publishing. Make it out to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, check or money order, $16. Make it out to Lucis Publishing. Ask for the Alice Bailey book, The Soul, The Quality of Life. Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We need your help, and we need it because we'd love to continue doing these radio shows. They're radio shows that I think that I don't think you'll find anything like these shows, in the sense that it's not a religion. We're not espousing a religion. We're talking about spiritual philosophy. And to go to one of the Lucis Trust meetings, you'll meet people from all religions, all backgrounds, who are able to find commonality on spiritual themes. And those spiritual themes are discussed here every week, so you can get some good idea of what we talk about at these meetings. But more importantly, we need your help with staying on the air. Every week is a challenge, and radio is very expensive. We're proud to be on, but the economics of it are quite formidable. So if you'd like to help us out and help us stay on the radio, your donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. If you need to reach us for any reason, general package of information, which tells you a lot about what Lucis Trust is all about, or other reasons, give us a call on our toll-free number, which is 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. All of our InterSight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, website is www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website also, so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. I remember one time, I love to peruse some of the ancient literature and some of the ancient thoughts, and being involved with Sarah and Dell has certainly stimulated my interest, and some of the thoughts I've gotten from the Alice Bailey book, other thoughts from others. But Sarah, Dell, what do you think of this thought? I was looking through some of the ancient literature and some of the ancient books that are now being published. There's so many of them that are being translated, and it said, you are all there is, and all there is you. Would that be an example of the highest an individual evolving to the highest state of consciousness?
Well, bless your heart, Robert. That strikes me as kind of a New Agey take on what, in essence, is a spiritual truth. I would hope all there is not me. I'd hope there's a lot more. But I understand behind it, it's saying that there is no division between oneself and the universe. But I think when you have attained that realization, that awareness of being one with the whole, you are more identified with the whole than with your own individual achievement. That's dropped away. It's that old thing about which is more real, the drop or the ocean. The drop is contained in the ocean. To me, the drop blending with the ocean loses its awareness of being a separated drop.
Okay.
Now it's your turn.
Not back to follow. Huh?
Moving right along now. I just want to bring out the point that where we are today in consciousness is not where we have been, because we are evolving human beings in consciousness, and it is consciousness that is evolving, first of all, and anything to do with the form life follows this evolution of the consciousness. And very early on, we can see this whole thing about awareness, even at the instinctual level of the animal, let's say, there is a certain degree of awareness. And then even at the lower levels, even at the music,
plants react for good or bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is that awareness even in the plant kingdom, because they are very sensitive to sunlight and to the impacts of the environment around them. And so there is this increasing sense and depth of awareness that all the way through evolution, from the plant kingdom to the animal kingdom, up through the human kingdom, and it's an increasing expansion of consciousness that goes on. So where we have been in the instinctual stage and where we are today is just a step in that expansion of consciousness. And there is other stages beyond where we are. The pure intuitional state of awareness, which lies within the realm of the soul. And this is the next step, the next stage in that expansion of consciousness. And that's essentially what we're trying to bring out here today, that what's going on in planet Earth is a vast evolutionary expansion of awareness and consciousness.
I think that people may be wondering how to achieve this awareness, and we're given some guidelines in the teaching of the Buddha. And this being the month of May, when the Buddha attained his enlightenment, it's useful to look back at what he achieved. After his years and years of searching for enlightenment through spiritual practices, through teachers, through a life of the strictest self-denial and so on, he hadn't achieved the breakthrough in awareness that he wanted. And finally, in frustration, 2,500 years ago, he sat down under the Bodhi tree in ancient India and refused to get up until his mind had broken through the barriers. And legend has it that he sat there for 40 days and 40 nights before he finally achieved a breakthrough in consciousness that expanded his awareness to complete and direct identification with the universe. And when he achieved that, legend says, he touched his right forefinger, I believe it was, to the earth, and the earth responded with a thunderous roar. I love that story because even if it's apocryphal, I think it demonstrates that the Buddha brought to humanity, to earthly life, the techniques and the methods and the rules for expanding awareness, because he spent the rest of his lifetime teaching how to achieve the same breakthrough that he had made. And his fundamental lesson, I believe, was the need for detachment, to let go of the material realm. As long as we are clinging to this outer world of material things, we are filled with desire and attachment, and our awareness is imprisoned. And his message is to give up that clinging to the things that are not real, not eternal, if we really want to liberate our awareness.
Yeah, and I think that's the great experiment that's in front of us today, in this, particularly in this technological world we're in. There is so much distraction and so much focus on the material things that, and all the gadgets, they make us more aware of the world, in a sense, of the material world, and that's very exciting, and it draws you in, but also it's a big distraction because it doesn't provide much insight into the reasons or what's going on behind all of this material focus, or what is impulsing it, what is working out. Because there is a deep spiritual theme, a deep spiritual plan working out through all of this, the material world. And that's what we have to discover. And I think that's the big kind of stage of transition we're in right now, of trying to discover. The opportunity is here if we just take advantage of it.
Interestingly, detachment isn't just a nice idea because we shouldn't be materialists and living for the acquisition of stuff. It's also, Alice Bailey said, that in reality it imposes a whole new rhythm, a whole new habitual reaction upon the cells of the brain, the practice of detachment, which renders the brain unaware of the lure of the world of sensory perception. So I think that implies a physical reaction sets in the brain that then begins to free up the consciousness as one turns away from the grip of the outer world and the clinging to material reality. The inner light can be allowed to work its own magic, because each of us within us is a source of light. The Buddha said, be a lamp unto your own feet. So we have within us this inner guiding light, but we can't begin to notice it or follow it until we turn our attention inward. Our awareness has to be focused on the subjective level.
And I think, yes, I agree. And one of the points that he makes in that she makes in the writings is, one example that of what we can do is try to register the perception of the soul, not from the standpoint of the personality, but try to register that which the soul perceives by the soul itself. In other words, this is a new way of thinking about the soul. Try to think, how is the soul thinking? And try to synchronize with it and think with the soul, and that will kind of help that in that bridging process.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, The Soul, The Quality of Life. The Soul, The Quality of Life is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books of Alice Bailey, and you'll certainly find much greater depth as far as today's discussion or theme of awareness. So take advantage of the special offer and order the Soul, The Quality of Life. It's available for $16. What you need to do to take advantage of the offer is to send a check or a money order, $16, to Lucis Publishing. Make the check out or money order to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you need to get in touch with us for any reason, give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.